Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, as you know, I talk a lot about Bitcoin here, and I haven't quite made up my mind, but I've got another guy here who's going to convince me, who's starting as a brand new business as well, and it's Daniel Plotsky from CoinFlip.tech. Daniel, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me. You know, I'm really excited to teach your viewers about Bitcoin, so let's get started.
Yeah, no, it's great. And well, first of all, you know, I got to give your background. You know, I happen to know you obviously well, and you are quite the entrepreneur, and have done quite a few good things. And I think you've actually been kind of involved in the financial industry quite a bit, and run a bunch of internships, have you not?
Yeah. So I've had kind of what I've done. My career has always been, my short career has always been kind of a mix of entrepreneurship and finance. So my first ever job that I took was at Vector Marketing. I was just kind of selling Cutco knives door to door, not exactly door to door, but, you know, during in-home presentations. And, you know, I kind of kept that going after I was able to make a good chunk that first summer. I invested the money into tickets. You know, I started flipping tickets just to hustle. Started out with like Lollapalooza, you know, get some vanilla games, and then kind of like diversified into, I don't know, more local shows. And I still kind of do that on the side. And I was also a brand representative for Coca-Cola and Uber, just kind of finding ways to make people, you know, use the products. But then I also had various like industry, like internships in the financial sector. Like I was an intern at Morgan Stanley. I interned at RJ O'Brien, which is like a futures firm. And also recently this summer at Citadel. So kind of when I started CoinFlip, it was kind of almost like a mix of entrepreneurship and finance, because like Bitcoin's an alternative way to, you know, invest. And I also thought it would just be a great opportunity because it's like so new.
So tell me, first things first, we're going to get in your company because I think that's a pretty exciting concept. But so what made you get interested in Bitcoin? Okay. And what's the value you see in it?
So I guess what made me first interested is I kind of wanted to use it as a hedge to, you know, I always am trying to like diversify my assets, and I wanted to hedge my risk by investing in some Bitcoin. So I met somebody. First I actually used a Bitcoin ATM, which is kind of what CoinFlip does. And I purchased my first bit of Bitcoin with, you know, just like cash. I didn't like wire to an exchange or anything like that. I just put in money to the machine and then got out Bitcoin. You know, it was really simple. And I think just like what got me with Bitcoin is that it's kind of like, you know, there's just like a lot of value in it because you kind of like free yourself. It's kind of like it's a decentralized currency, which is something that, you know, has never really been done before. You know, it's not tied to any government or anything like that. And so, you know, your assets can never be like seized if you have Bitcoin. You can move it what I thought was really cool is you can move it really quickly around like the world. You know, like you can send money to your relatives in like the Ukraine or like Greece for just like pennies on the dollar. Whereas, you know, at a bank, you'd have to like go through a wire transfer process. You know, you have to pay the money. You have to go during business hours. There might be some sort of like limit to how much you can send. There might be some kind of tax. You know, with Bitcoin, you don't have to deal with that. It's also like pretty cool because it's like deflationary. So, you know, there's only a limited number of Bitcoin. So it's kind of like that, you know, it's very similar to gold because like, you know, a country can just kind of keep printing its currency. So if you're kind of worried about how the way your country's handling its monetary policy, you know, like a lot of inflation or whatnot, then you could actually suffer if you're holding it. I mean, maybe it's not like a huge problem with the US dollar, but it's always good to, I think, diversify your assets. And I think Bitcoin's a great way to do that.
Oh, no, I agree that diversification is extremely important. I mean, and you developed a financial background, so I mean that's good. So now, when you look at Bitcoin, and you said you put cash in a machine, and you got out Bitcoin, Now, did that? How did that work? What was? How did the like the bid and the offer spread work on that? How did that whole process work? How do they take their edge? I mean, we know there's an edge, right? I mean, that's part of it, right?
Yeah, of course. There's actually a pretty decent edge, especially when you're working with cash, which is kind of why I wanted to get into the business. So how it works is there are different kinds of exchanges. You know, there's Bitstamp, there's Bitfinex, there's Coinbase, Gemini, a whole litany of exchanges. Kind of, it's very, very up to the ATM operator which exchange he or she wants to peg the price to. So there is like a, you know, a Bitcoin API called the Bitcoin Average, and it kind of takes an average of all the exchanges and puts it into one price. But, you know, what the ATM owner does is he or she like just pegs it to one exchange, and then we'll just take a certain amount over that percentage. So, you know, for example, if I wanted to charge, let's say, like 10% over Bitstamp, I would just put like, there's like a API that you can use that just, it automatically updates the price every 30 minutes on the ATM screen. And it just always has that price updating to 10% over the Bitstamp ask. So how the process itself works is you come to the machine, you have what's called like a QR code. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but it's like one of those black and white squares. It's pretty common.
Yeah.
And it's connected to your Bitcoin address. What you do is you would scan it to the machine screen, and then it knows your address. You insert cash, and then the machine sends you Bitcoin instantly. You know, you can get it, I mean, probably within, depending on how slow the network's going at any given moment, I mean, you usually get that within 10 or 15 minutes.
That's pretty cool. So now on the Bitcoin and what's going on. So you have the bid offer spread, and you can go get it now at the thing, because it seems to me that it's been hard to get Bitcoin without your ATM service now. I mean, I know people that have trouble finding it and having trouble buying it. Is there a problem with that? Not with you, but because I know you have it for your machine. But how does that work?
Well, is there like a problem buying it which way? Like with an exchange or with an ATM?
I think people have told me, I've never bought it. I actually do take it on my website though, but I've never bought it. But I've heard people have told me that it's sometimes hard to buy. It's hard to find.
Well, that's kind of the problem that we're solving, you know? We know that the process to onboard onto an exchange is very arduous and might not be worth it for all people. You know, like you have to find the exchange, make sure it's trustworthy, you know, wait 3 to 5 days for them to approve all of your onboarding requirements, you know, like kind of provide your social security number, provide your ID, just kind of wait. And you have to wire money to the exchange, which also takes a big fee, especially if you're only going to buy like a few $100 of Bitcoin. You know, if you pay a $40 wire transfer fee, like might not be worth it. And then, you know, you have to wait while the wire goes, and only then can you start purchasing Bitcoin. So yeah, there's definitely the problem of kind of having that issue where it just seems kind of annoying to buy Bitcoin. There seems to be a lot of barriers to entry, but that's kind of what CoinFlip is trying to solve. You know, we make the process really, really easy. You know, go insert cash, get Bitcoin. You know, for a little bit larger transactions, we have to take certain customer information because of, you know, AML BSA requirements. But you know, even that's really easy. They just scan their ID to the machine. We get a notification instantly. They take a selfie. We match it up. And then we approve the registration. So customers, when they go to our machine, yes, they do pay a premium because, you know, we're working with cash, and cash carries a premium usually because it's like risky, it's arduous, but, you know, it's also quick. People can get Bitcoin instantly, and this is a great way for people to like onboard onto the system.
All right, well, hold
on. You
know,
even if eventually you do want to use an exchange, uh-huh, you might want to always start with an ATM just because it's so user-friendly.
I hold that thought, but when we come back, I want you to tell me about that exchange, not the exchange, but the regulation or whatever, the AM bailout, whatever the letters you use, we'll get to it, but I need some information on that. So this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are visiting with Daniel Polatsky, who is the owner or one of the owners of CoinFlip.tech, the latest in Bitcoin technology, buying it and getting it at ATM. Pretty cool stuff. We're going to stop here for a break, but this is the Bubba Show. We urge you to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And you can go to bubbatrading.com and get my new Bubba's Bottom Line video podcast once a week or so. Go check it out at bubbatrading.com. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Daniel Polatsky from CoinFlip.tech. the Bitcoin man. And this is we do take Bitcoin here at the Bubba Show on purchases. So, Daniel. So we're talking about how there's some of this regulation, and my question is, and you can tell me more about it. But my question is the biggest thing about Bitcoin, from my understanding, was the anonymity. And if I have to show my ID or something to do a transfer there, doesn't that take away that benefit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. So, like, it's kind of like, you know, we're between a rock and a hard place where, yes, you know, we would like Bitcoin to be as anonymous as possible. That's like kind of the goal. That was definitely one of the goals of Bitcoin. And for low transactions, you know, you can do that. But at the same time, you know, the U.S. federal government loves to, you know, kind of know where everyone is spending their money. So if we want to operate as, you know, a legal money services business, you know, we have to comply with FinCEN regulation. And we have to take, you know, our policy dictates that at the ATMs for over, you know, $500 purchases, we have to get a scan of the ID. And, you know, for even larger trades, you know, sometimes we'll do in-person trades of like up to $7,500 or even more if we trust the customer. Then, you know, we have to get a social security number and file CTRs, like currency transaction reports to FinCEN, and like, you know, all the regular stuff that a bank kind of has to do. But, you know, like Bitcoin, it's still like, it is still anonymous. You know, like people, you know, they still know that you're buying, like, you know, even if someone knows that you're buying the Bitcoin, like once it travels from your wallet, like once it goes to your wallet, that wallet is in no way connected to your name. So that's maybe where, like, you know, the where kind of it can still be anonymous. Okay. You know, once you send that Bitcoin, you know, once it leaves your wallet, it's kind of hard to trace it back to you.
All right.
Whether or not, you know, our goal here at CoinFlip isn't to make people, you know, like completely, you know, removed from the government, because, you know, if you can't beat them, you got to join them.
Oh, no, I understand that. We'd all like to be removed from the centralized banking system, though. I think you agree with that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to go so hard to say, like, no, end the Fed.
Well, you can bash the Fed here all you want. That's one of my specialties. So,
Yeah. I know. But I'm saying, like, I don't know if I would go that far.
Okay.
But I think that it definitely is worth it to have some sort of asset that is not controlled by the Fed decision making. Well, at least not directly. You know, the Fed decides to print like 1,000 times more dollar bills. You know, you don't want to be screwed at the end of that. At the other end of that. So that's why Bitcoin, you know, it definitely has like still a role, even if it's not fully anonymous.
All right. So tell us about the coin flip service. Where are some of your locations and, you know, some of those things? Tell us all about the company now.
Yeah, of course. So I can just, I guess, start with how I began the company. And I already kind of got into that a little bit. So I used a Bitcoin ATM. It was actually, I think, the first one in Chicago. It was in Cassava Bread in Wrigleyville. And I just kind of, like, it was a good idea, but just kind of the way they put it into practice, I think the company was called Midwest BTC. I don't even know if they're around anymore. But it just kind of, I don't know, the machine hardware was buggy. Like, it took a while, actually, to get the Bitcoin, like, longer than I had thought. I had to, like, wait around for the machine, you know, input some things again and again and again. And it was kind of weird. So what I ended up doing instead was I went on localbitcoins.com and just met a person, like kind of an agent, and I bought Bitcoin from her. And then we were like getting to talking, you know, she's like a really smart woman. She had just finished a math bachelor's in Notre Dame. And then she actually had gone on to Harvard. So she was really smart. And she was talking to me about, you know, like even though the ATM that you used, maybe it wasn't like optimal, you know, it's still in theory a very good idea because it kind of it automates my job. And I definitely agreed with her. So I guess from that point on, we kind of started talking and we decided that we would give it a go ourselves. And we started what was called BitExperts LLC as our first company. And we had, you know, everything was going great, but then, you know, the workload really picked up and she thought, you know, it was maybe like a little much to deal with for her. So we had to part ways because she wasn't willing to put in as much work as it necessitated. Cause you know, you kind of think that, oh, a Bitcoin ATM is kind of like going to make money for itself. But you don't really think about all the things you still have to do, you know, like pulling money out, dealing with bug fixes, you know, dealing with customers. So it's not, you know, just a completely passive way to earn income. So I still really like the idea. You know, we had four ATMs at that point. So I found two new business partners, you know, named Alan and Chris. They were actually the manager and owner, respectively, of one of the stores where my Bitcoin ATM was located. So I just teamed up with them, and we rebranded as CoinFlip. Currently, we have, 10 ATMs. We're looking to grow as much as possible. You know, we have locations in, nine around the Chicagoland area. We got Allsip, Lincoln Park, Pilsen, Wicker Park, Garfield Park, Woodlawn, Skokie, Gurnee, and Elk Grove Village. And we also just recently opened up at the University of Illinois. So we're in Champaign as well. And then 9 of the machines, the ones that are located in Chicago, their functionality is simply that you can insert cash and get Bitcoin out. But in Champaign, it actually works both ways. So people can sell their Bitcoin to the machine as well. So that's kind of cool.
So
trying to get more of those models out there.
So you have one machine right now that can buy or sell?
And
are they converting it back to U.S. dollars? Is that what they're doing?
Yes, exactly. So you just scan your QR code, send the money to the address, and it spits out dollar bills.
That's pretty cool. All right. So and of course that works out well, and we'll talk about that later. But so, all right. So now you've got how many machines did you have? I forgot. What you said 13 or 9. What did you say? 9 or 13? I forgot.
10 machines.
10. I was close. I was in between.
Yeah, you got it.
What are the fees? What do you charge to make a transaction?
So our fees actually, while they may seem high, and regular when you're spot trading FX currency, when the spreads are minuscule. Our fee is 7% for buys. Like when we sell Bitcoin, it's 7%. And then when we purchase Bitcoin, we go 3.5% below spot rate. But, while that seems like it's high, it's actually the lowest in the Chicagoland area. A lot of our competitors are charging, as high as twice that. And we try to make it as affordable as possible. We'd like to get the prices even lower, but I think we need to get even more machines and find a way to acquire cheaper Bitcoin. Right now, it's the best we can do.
So you're 7% over and 3.5% under. That's your bid offer. So it's, is that right? Am I right? Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. So that's fine. So you're 7 over and 3.5 under. And now, and you say that's the best. Now, when you use one of those goofy exchanges that you mentioned earlier, do they charge those type of fees as well? How do they work their market?
No. So that's I'm charging my fees relative to those exchanges. But those exchanges also have other fees. Like, for example, you need a wire transfer fee, which, if you're wiring $70,000, it may not be important. But if you're wiring $200, then that's already 20% of your income gone right there. So, for smaller amounts, it doesn't really make sense to use an exchange because you have that fixed wire fee. And also they do charge, I believe, 0.25% per trade.
All right. Now, one thing we talked a little bit about is, being anonymous as well. If you take some information, are you compelled to turn that in when you take it, or do you keep it quiet?
No, we don't disclose or sell your information in any way, shape, or form. The only way we'd ever, have to, give up the information is if the authorities, FinCEN or whatever, was conducting a specific investigation on a specific person, and they'd maybe ask to see, if they were buying, Bitcoin from us, but it would never be, hey, CoinFlip, turn over all of your customers to us. It doesn't work that way. It's only if they have some sort of probable suspicion that's something's going on, which is usually, that's barely ever the case, because also we're not dealing with very high quantities. We're not selling people $60,000-$70,000 of Bitcoin.
Right, so you'd like to be doing that though, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we maybe moved into some other spaces, but I don't know, if someone was handing me $70,000 in cash, I'd have to have a really good reason as to why they were using that to buy their Bitcoin, right?
Well, yeah, but we're going to get ready to go to a break here, but I'll give you some things to think about. Sure. We'll talk about when we get back. But, I think obviously one of the things Bitcoin is good for is some illegal activity. And that's one thing that, it's always a concern. And I think obviously that's the they say the government says that's their concern. And we'll talk more about that later. But we're going to step out here for a break. We're with Daniel Polatsky. From CoinFlip.tech and all around business. And as you can tell, he understands the banking system. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Go to LibertyTalk.fm and you can download the show every single day. And as well as you can go to download The Sporting Edge on the weekends, which is now hosted by Xander. In the meantime, I am now doing Bubba's Bottom Line, which is a video podcast about once or twice a week. You can go to BubbaTrading.com and download that and hear me bitch in person instead of on the radio. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Orr. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we're going to come back with more on Daniel Palazzi, CoinFlip.Tech, and Bitcoin. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Daniel Palazzi from CoinFlip LLC, but their website is coinflip.tech. And, of course, Daniel, we were talking about the information you might have to turn over from the ATMs. And, of course, is that information like public? Is it just come to your computer? I mean, how do you keep the information? And if you have you ever been asked to turn it over?
We have never once. I mean, I can't, like, talk about, you know, any sort of specific case if there were to be one, but as of now, you know, we've never been asked to, you know, disclose any information about customers, and, you know, we keep all of our customer info very safe, you know, keep it on a secure encrypted database, and again, never disclose it, never sell it. So far, nobody from outside of our company has seen any sort of customer information, and we plan to keep it that way.
That's the way it should be. I mean, look, again, obviously, you know, people use Bitcoin for many reasons, and you know, some, as you want, it's for an alternative investment. Some use it to be, you know, some of the black marketeers use it for different things. But again, it is what it is. And anything, you know, the reasons for a government and a central banking system is, you know, to track some of that illegal activity. But unfortunately, they can track a little bit too much, and that's always an issue. All right, so just a couple of more quick questions, because I do want to get into some of the issues that you do experience here. But, you know, I guess Bitcoin, you know, going cross and forth on borders, and as you mentioned, we could be shipped all over the world. And now, you know, is there any, you have any thoughts of using, like, Spanish ATMs or going into Mexico at all?
Actually, right now, you know, we are going into talks, you know, like with, again, I don't know what kind of like regulation is surrounding this, but we would like to, if possible, enter the remittances market because, you know, who knows like how Trump feels towards Mexico, you know, if he raises the remittance taxes even more. Also, you know, like we've had talks with the lead, you know, Bitcoin exchange in Mexico and just like, you know, just preliminary stuff that, you know, maybe it could be a good idea to use our ATMs for remittance purposes. Like, for example, you know, someone goes to either a teller like me, or they go to our ATM, they purchase Bitcoin, sell it to the exchange overseas, and then that exchange immediately like either contracts with the teller on the other end so that people can immediately, you know, like cash out. So it's like really quick. It's probably a lot faster than Western Union. Again, I don't know what kind of regulations, like whether or not I'd have to like get additional registrations to do that. I'm hoping I don't, because it's a great idea. Bitcoin in the past, you know, it's like one of the first kind of uses for Bitcoin was remittances, and it hasn't really picked up as much as people would like. But I still think that there's definitely a lot of, you know, opportunity there. And also just kind of to comment about, you know, like, yeah, people are using Bitcoin for illegal things, but it's just like, you know, people use cash for illegal things too. Like, what are you going to do? Ban cash? I mean, that's kind of how it seems like the government wants.
But they're going to ban cash. You just said it. That is an issue.
You know, there's a war on cash. Apparently, but you know,
that's why gold is going up so much right now. And I, you know, I don't watch Bitcoin every day, but gold's going up because they're already banning cash in certain parts of the world as it is. So that is indeed an issue. And speaking of issues, what kind of issues are you experiencing in this new, it's a new business. It's a newfound, you know, the currency is new. It's not understood well by everybody. What are the things that you're experiencing?
I mean, one is actually kind of a good problem to have. You know, there actually is a lot of reception to our business. You know, we're selling more and more Bitcoin each month. You could expand way faster than what we're doing right now. But, you know, the problem is that we don't have like the, you know, we're just kind of a bootstrap startup. We have a decent amount of capital on hand, but, you know, like we're not paying ourselves or anything like that. But we need some sort of influx of capital. So we're currently looking for, you know, some sort of loan or investment so that we could keep up with demand and keep replenishing our Bitcoin supply. And also just kind of a huge problem that, you know, everyone in the industry faces, including us, is that just kind of the lack of regulation. Like, yes, there is regulation. I talked about it already. But since this stuff is like, since Bitcoin is so new, you know, it only came out in 2009, only really gained any sort of like mainstream media attention like 2013. The government's slow to adapt, you know, like there aren't clear guidelines. And because of that, you know, because there aren't these clear guidelines, it's like sometimes a question of how you would stay in compliance, because like CoinFlip takes like, you know, we put a large emphasis on being compliant so that we don't, you know, have to close our doors. But it's almost like, how do you do that if there aren't like very explicitly written regulations? And also a huge problem because of that is we have banking continuity issues. So, you know, because banks kind of view Bitcoin as new and risky, you know, they're also slow to adapt. They don't want the government to fine them for money laundering. They don't want the government to, you know, fine them for anything. So what they kind of do is they kind of shut their doors on money services businesses. And especially, you know, when there's a Bitcoin company, you know, that kind of makes it even worse because it's kind of even more risky and more new. So I'm just hoping that the regulatory environment eases and that, you know, I think eventually we're going to be able to find a long-term bank. But as of now, you know, we kind of like onboard with a bank, you know, everything's going good. And then we have like some sort of issue. So in order to, you know, expand as quickly as we can, we just got to find those, you know, Bitcoin friendly banks. And so, and once we do that, you know, we'll be able, like, the sky's the limit. You know, we'll be able to like put down a few machines every single week and hopefully be able to bring Bitcoin to the masses. But I'm just hoping that the regulatory environment eases.
Well, I mean, so that, again, that goes back to, so, you know, obviously, for most people, if you're just, using, what do they call it, a blockchain or another, using some of these online things, you're not necessarily, you don't have to follow any regulations, correct? I mean, it is unregulated
if you're a buyer of Bitcoin, yeah, you don't really, besides providing your information, there's no regulations for you. It's just on, it's on us. Because, like, I think after, like, it kind of all began with the Patriot Act, you know, kind of, it became, like, the bank's job to stop, you know, money laundering and terrorist financing.
Right.
And then as a result, then, you know, kind of came to the, even the next level where the banks is now, you know, like the banks is responsible for all of its customers' activity as well. So it just kind of creates like this fear that, you know, even customers that are fully compliant and have shown their policies for compliance, it kind of this fear that, you know, they might not be true to their word or they're unknowingly facilitating some sort of like illegal activity. And then the bank will get fined as a result. So that's kind of where it comes from.
All right. I mean, look, we all know how the regulatory environment is in this country,
yeah.
And it's a little bit ridiculous. And of course, I like parts of the Patriot Act because obviously I understand it. But I also, there's a lot of things I don't like because it does allow them a little bit too much freedom to crawl up your ass if they want to.
And it kind of like chokes businesses that, you know, are otherwise have a completely good idea. But, you know, it's not a huge issue. You know, I already know of like very many Bitcoin-friendly banks, and, you know, some banks are, like, adopting their policies. So I just think it is a matter of time.
So who are some of the Bitcoin-friendly banks? Can you say?
Well, I know that there's the main one that I know. I know there's one in Texas, or sorry, not in Texas, in Memphis, Tennessee. I forgot the name. But I know that there is a Silvergate Bank in California. I know that it's friendly towards Bitcoin. And I also know that there's this bank, I think it might be an online bank or something like that. It's called Fidor Bank, but it hasn't entered into the U.S. yet. And there's also, like, banks that are, you know, friendly towards Bitcoin on a personal level, like USAA, like the credit union, but it's not, like, you know, it's not really necessarily equipped to handle full-out Bitcoin-related businesses.
So USAA is friendly towards Bitcoin?
Yeah, like, I think they actually have a... Like, don't quote me on this, but I think they actually have, like, I read something about they have, like, something where you can actually just directly convert your balance to Bitcoin. I mean, not the whole balance, however much you want, using Coinbase. And I think that's already integrated into the USAA system. But again, don't quote me on that because I'm not sure. But I do know that the bank on a consumer level, or the credit union, rather, is definitely friendly toward Bitcoin.
No, I mean, that's good for you. You ought to get the ATMs on in all the Army bases. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That's their USAA, baby. That's their insurance. So that's a big thing. So so you're working on these banking relationships. And in your opinion, how many banks or what type of banks will become friendly to Bitcoin that might not be friendly to it now?
Well, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell the future about this. You know, it could be that.
Go ahead. You can tell the future. You're a big boy. So step up, man. Let's go.
You know, if Bitcoin goes like really mainstream, for example, you know, maybe all banks will be friendly towards Bitcoin. If, for example, it always stays as kind of like a niche product that people just use to diversify their assets. You know, what I'm thinking of, the banks that are going to be the ones to adapt are ones that, you know, really value technology, ones that are maybe a little bit smaller. So they can, you know, kind of have leeway to change their policies and are a little bit more nimble, you know, ones that don't have as many assets under management. And those kind of banks with like an open mind, I think, you know, online banks, you're like talking, you know, like your classic giants like Citi, JP Morgan, you know, I'm thinking those will be like the last banks to adapt for better or worse.
Yeah, because they haven't figured out how to scarf their share off the top yet. They're right. Still dealing.
I mean, they're also, you know, the most heavily scrutinized banks in the world, you know. I mean, I do understand where they're coming from. I just think that there's kind of like this stigma against Bitcoin where, you know, people are using it for like illegal activity or money laundering when that's really not the case. Especially when you're looking at a company that's whose average transaction size is like under $500. You know, it's mostly people who just want to get into the space or people who maybe don't even have bank accounts. Or who want to send money to their family?
I'm going to cut you off in there because I'm just going to say that they just don't want to deal with it because they haven't figured out a way how to scarf a big enough edge out of it yet for themselves, and that's always the issue. I mean, look, let's face it. I mean, you know, they until they can figure out a way to really glom onto it and figure out what they can get out of it and make it worth their while, it wouldn't be worth their time to deal with it. But anyways, we're with Daniel Pulaski from CoinFlip LLC, but also check out his website and find his ATMs and go buy some Bitcoin, coinflip.tech. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. So we're going to stop by here for a break. But before we do, remember, liberty for everyone, liberty and justice for all. Now, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of the Bubba Show every single day and the Sporting Edge on the weekends with the new host, Xander. And, of course, Bubba's Bottom Line brought to you by BubbaTrading.com. And all you have to do is go there. You can hear me bitch and moan and live and in color. And we're going to step out here, but we're going to come back and close up here with Daniel Pulaski from CoinFlip LLC. CoinFlip.tech is the website. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Daniel Pulaski from CoinFlip LLC, CoinFlip.tech. And so, Daniel, you know, I know that obviously we know a lot of stores are starting to take Bitcoin. You know, Priceline takes it. But I think that one of the biggest advocates for Bitcoin is Overstock.com, which is Patrick Byrne. And, of course, what he does typically is he'll take in the Bitcoin and flip it right away and you know, cash in. But he does keep some, obviously, in store for himself. But I think that there's going to be a bigger demand going forward for more Bitcoin, especially as the war on cash continues. What do you think?
Oh, I definitely think there's going to be more and more demand as more and more people find out about it. You know, whether that's the investor or even the average consumer. You know, I am excited that companies like Microsoft and, you know, travel companies like Orbitz are taking Bitcoin. And Airbnb, you know, that was kind of their biggest, they asked the poll on Twitter what they should add to their service. And I think the biggest suggestion was that they should add Bitcoin. But what I'm even like more, you know, what I'm really excited about is that companies like, you know, I think, let me see what it's called here. Look it up real fast. The company is called, Upstart 21, and Upstart 21 is supposed to be like kind of like a LinkedIn killer. Who knows if that'll actually pan out, but like I have confidence in it. And it just, what it does is it kind of like, you know, we have the same kind of networking system, but you know, on LinkedIn, you kind of pay to send email to people that you don't know. It would be the same thing with Upstart 21. But what's cool about that company is that the money actually goes to the person as opposed to, you know, to LinkedIn or to the central body that's controlling everything. So it's kind of like gives people a way to, you know, break the shackles and like be the masters of their own networking. so you can kind of take fees for people contacting you. The company does take a small amount, but it's nowhere near LinkedIn's, like, you know, colossal fees for in-mails. Also, you know, they're just kind of like just this new wave of decentralization. Like, I'm really excited about another company called Open Bazaar. It's kind of an eBay killer. You know, eBay probably takes about 10% for every single fee that, for every single trade that happens. PayPal takes another 3%. So people are discouraged from selling things on eBay because, you know, you have to fork over 13% of your investment just to begin. And it's already a secondhand item. But for Open Bazaar, it's a completely decentralized Bitcoin marketplace. Like, all you really pay for is that, you know, you want some sort of moderation services. So, like, for example, if there's a dispute between buyer and seller, you still need someone to help sort that out. So you can pay moderators a very small fee, maybe like 1 or 2%, but it's nowhere, you know, near the kind of, it's nowhere near the kind of fees that eBay charges. So I just think that decentralization of the currency has a potential to increase the demand for sure. And also you have, like, what I always thought was cool is, you know, when you travel, a lot of times you get burned by exchange rate risks. Like, not risk, sorry, just kind of fees.
No, it's exchange risk. You get screwed. I'll tell you one quick story because you'll laugh and you'll enjoy this. I went to Canada, sure, and played poker one time. I took Xander and the whole crew. They went to Niagara Falls. I went and played poker. I bought in. They hit me on the exchange rate on the way in. I won. They hit me on the exchange rate out. I almost got arrested because I went through the roof because I understand that part of the business. And I was really pissed about it. And that's the thing that bothers me about all these things, because you have no control over getting ripped off, and nobody gives you a break. I mean, so far, what you've told me, I think your rate's the best exchange rate ever. But anyways, so go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
Well, before we go on, did you lose all your winnings to the exchange rate?
Yes. I lost my winnings in and out. By the time I was done, I won about $50, and I won like 300. So I wasn't too happy.
Wow, yeah, you got hosed for sure.
Yeah, at a casino. But, so go ahead.
So pretty much, I think that Bitcoin, like, this is really kind of more down the line when it becomes, you know, when just regular places start accepting Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin could honestly be the currency of people that travel. Because if it's, you know, universal and it's really liquid, you know, it's really easy to move around Bitcoin, you don't have to get the local currency. You know, if everyone's accepting Bitcoin, then you can kind of just, like, go, you know, with your smartphone in your pocket and pay with your Bitcoin once you get there. You know, you
don't have to contact the credit card
company. You don't have to exchange your money. It's really easy. So I think that once the infrastructure gets a little bit more mature, that's definitely on the table.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And then you don't have to declare if you got 10,000 cash in your pocket or not. That's pretty cool. Just put your put your Bitcoin in. So, you ever hear of Purse.io?
Actually, I have heard of Purse.io.
And how do they fit in your game at all? Is there anything that they would do the same as you, or is there any, I mean, I know they do something with their platform that gets discounts from Amazon and stuff like that.
Right. I really have no idea how, like, I haven't done enough research in Purse.io to see, like, how their business model actually, like, runs the way it does, because it just seems like they're giving a discount for using Bitcoin on regular items. Like, for example, if you just buy something on Amazon, it's 5% off if you use Bitcoin instead of dollars. I don't really see how, unless they have, like, a really good connection where they're getting extremely cheap Bitcoin somewhere, I don't really see how they're making money on that. But the fact that they're doing it is great, because it just, I mean, it's like there's no excuse not to get Bitcoin then. You know, you just go on Purse.io and save 5% on every single purchase you make. So that's obviously amazing.
No, I mean, it's great. And of course, obviously, listen, nobody does nothing for nothing. We know that. So, you know, they've got some kind of edge going, which is fine. Look, everybody's entitled to make money. I have no problem with any of that. But it does make sense. And of course, I do think that, you know, Bitcoin or something like that will be another type of currency. As you mentioned, you compared it to gold and whatever. I mean, okay, so in your mind, what's the biggest benefit of having the ATMs that you use, okay, that you provide, and do you look for I know you need capital to grow bigger, but what do you see as growth? If everything were perfect, what type of growth do you expect?
I mean, if everything, like, what kind of, like, are you looking, like, percentage-wise, or, like, how many ATMs we put down? Or,
put it in whatever terms you want, young man.
I mean, honestly, I think as soon as we figure out our investor-related issues and our banking situation, I think that the sky, like I said, is the limit. You know, the local Bitcoin market, like, the initial market opportunity is, like, I think, you know, like, if you multiply the global volume times, like, the fee we charge times 52 weeks, you you know, you're looking at like a $58 million market just on local Bitcoins alone, the website. But, you know, there's a lot of trades that aren't done through local Bitcoins. So I just think that the opportunities could, you know, even be 10 or 20 times higher. You know, you're looking at like a $1 billion market. And as more and more people adapt, you know, we have no problem right now putting down, you know, kind of two, three machines a month. We just have to maybe get some licensure from other states. But in terms of like, you know, whether we're ready, we're easily ready. You know, we have the skills, we have the desire. I see this business growing a lot, and, you know, kind of maybe, you know, if this like war on cash is successful, I don't know, or maybe like Bitcoin ATMs aren't the way of the future. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to like sit here and say that these things are going to be relevant for 10 years. I do see myself, you know, diversifying the company, you know, into remittances. Maybe we go into like proprietary trading, maybe mining, maybe making our own ATMs. I don't know. I just definitely see that the company has a lot of potential for growth. And, you know, we've seen that by being able to turn like a pretty significant profit in just our first year of operation. So the demand is definitely there, and I'm very excited for what's to come.
No, I think you have an exciting business, and one of the things you do know is you have all of the knowledge that goes along with it. You have the central banking knowledge. You have the real currency. You understand that every time those guys print more money, they're just stealing money out of your pocket, because that's really what it is. It's really just offering a secondary on cash. I mean, you know, they can say whatever they want, but that is the point. So now you've got, are you have any plans in the very near future to put more in, or you just get working your base and trying to raise some more capital before you get there?
Yeah, you know, short-term goals, you know, I just try to take it day by day, nothing too crazy. Just, you know, get the investor capital, get on board with a bank. We do have a few immediate plans to put down maybe one or two machines, in the state of Illinois. So in the near term, maybe like in the next month, we'll, probably put down a machine somewhere that's outside of Chicago, but in the state of Illinois.
All right.
You know, making Bitcoin that more accessible. And that's kind of what's on the table.
Well, have you back on. I got to cut you short. Daniel Plotsky, CoinFlip the LLC and CoinFlip.tech. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, honestly. I really appreciate it.
That's great to have you on. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. That was Daniel Plotsky from CoinFlip LLC. CoinFlip.tech is his website. Go check it out. The Bitcoin Man. And this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Go to LibertyTalk.fm. Download the show every single day and go to BubbaTrading.com and get Bubba's Bottom Line. We'll see you back here on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you back here Monday. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.